be here, bringing books to life. Vision without sight.
Through Time and the Stars, written by Jai Kobayashi Goma and Megan Darg. Produced by Be Here. Episode 10. Timeship H2G2, Command Center, Deep Space. The atmosphere in the timeship is subdued. Max is tending to Alice's sprained ankle. Daisy is steering the ship while Laika stands beside her, staring out through the viewing window. Trent is sitting by himself. Occasionally, Alice stares over at Trent, visibly hurt and angry. Nobody speaks. After a while, Dave begins to whistle nervously.
Dave!
Sorry, not a big fan of silence. Especially uncomfortable silence. I always feel like...
Dave!
Sorry.
The silence continues a while longer. Then, longer again. More silence. More pointed looks.
Would anybody mind if I played a little music?
Oh, whatever.
Cool.
Dave begins to play some music.
Big wheels keep on turning. Carry me home to see my kin.
Then the pent-up tension explodes.
This silent treatment is so childish.
Childish? You tried to sell us out to save your own skin!
As if you wouldn't have done the same thing if only you'd thought of it first.
Sweet home Alabama.
I wouldn't think it because I'm not a self-serving coward.
Oh, look at you, all high and mighty.
At least I know how to treat my friends.
You're not my friend.
The sound of terrible weeping cuts through the argument. Max and Trent look over at Alice.
Sorry, Alice. I didn't mean to...
You left me.
Dave turns the music off. The ship is silent once more as Alice prepares to speak through her tears.
You just ran away and left me. I could have taken you selling us all out. That wouldn't have been personal, but you ran away. I needed you and you just ran.
Alice, look,
I never want to see you again, Trent.
What? What? How? We're on the ship in the middle of...
I don't care. I never want to see you again.
Alice gets up and hobbles over to join Daisy and Laika at the viewing window. Max takes a long look at Trent, then turns away from him and joins the others. For the briefest of moments, Trent seems hurt, penitent.
Oh, that's it. I've had enough of the lot of you. You can drop me off at the next habitable planet. I don't need you. I'll make a success of myself, no matter where I land. Now that we've escaped those crazed madmen, there's...
About that.
What?
Well, I'm not sure we've escaped as such.
What? You think they'll follow us?
Oh, I'm pretty sure of it.
Ah.
Dave?
She's not wrong. I'm picking up... Oh, my... That's a lot of ships. A lot of ships. A lot of ships. All heading towards us. Fast.
Oh, can we outrun them?
Maybe.
Maybe they're not after us.
Shut up, Trent. Nobody wants to hear from you.
He's right, though. For once.
What do you mean?
They're after me.
What for?
Because I stole something. Something valuable.
What? Valuable enough to send a fleet of warships after us?
Yes.
What was it? What did you steal?
Laika reaches into the folds of her hooded robe and carefully pulls something out, presenting it to the others. It's a small, scruffy rag doll, fashioned after a neck-barren female.
What is that?
It's a Natasek. A doll.
Okay.
Why is it so valuable?
Because it belongs to the Emperor. It's the only toy his mother ever gave him before she... died. It holds a lot of sentimental value.
You stole a child's toy?
Yes.
Why?
You wouldn't understand.
Try me.
Well, you know how all the Menefs are thieves.
Are they really? I thought that was just something the gods said.
No, it's true. Every single one of us is a thief. Do you know why that is? It's because we have no choice. Once, Menefs were just the same as everybody else. We had our own planet. Only one of the moons of Nekbara, but it was ours. Our own money, our own everything. Then the Emperor decreed that everything which had belonged to the Menefs, personal or otherwise, was now the property of the Empire. We lost our planet, our homes, our jobs, our possessions. Everything.
You poor things.
So, I decided if we were going to be a race of thieves, we could at least steal something worthwhile. Not money or jewels. He's got so much he'd never miss them. But something personal. That's why I ignored his vaults and his treasure houses and went straight to the chambers of Nekalek. That's where he spent his childhood. Everyone remembers how the young child Emperor-to-be used to walk around carrying his Natasek. Everyone knows the story of how it was the last gift given to him, moments before his mother died.
That's so awful. How did she die?
He had her beheaded.
What?
It was the only way he was going to get to be emperor. He was impatient to rule, and so he had a member of his own private guard kill her during a feast, in front of everyone. He then declared himself emperor and then destroyed my people. He said he'd never liked the Menefs, so...
Daisy gets up and hugs Laika.
So, let me get this straight. This kid kills his mother, then takes everything off you people. So you take one little toy, and now an entire fleet of Nekbaran death ships are chasing after us to kill us?
Uh-huh.
Well, they won't be killing us today. Dave, can we outrun them?
I've been checking my systems and running all kinds of scenarios and...
Dave, can we outrun them?
I don't think so. No.
Then we've only got one option.
We're going to die?
No, Alice. We're going to travel back in time.
What?
It's the only way. We need to travel back in time and... Oh, I don't know. Tell the kid's mum to keep an eye out. Then she won't die. He won't get to be emperor. Laika's people won't be turned into thieves. She won't have to steal the doll, and therefore these killer spaceships won't be chasing us. And we get to not die.
Sounds like a plan.
Okay, Dave?
I'm not sure about this.
You can do it. I've got faith in you. We all do.
Well...
Shut up, Trent. Dave, we need you. Just do what you need to do and take us back before this all happened. Okay?
Okay. I'll try. Daisy?
I'm your girl, Dave.
Daisy jumps into the pilot's seat.
What do you want me to do?
You see the red button next to the joystick?
You want me to press it?
No. I was going to say, next to that button is a little green lever. Kind of shaped like...
The one that looks like a lapdog's tallywhacker?
Well, I...
You want me to flip it?
Okay, Daisy, listen carefully. When I say you need to flip that tallywhacker down and push the big stick forward, okay?
At the same time?
Yes, at the same time. Okay, people, get ready. And remember, this is my first time. Daisy?
Yes, Dave?
Do it.
Daisy flips the switch, then punches the joystick forward as hard as she can. Nothing happens. Nothing changes.
Typical. What a pile of steaming...
And the world turns both upside down and inside out at the same time. Sound becomes colour. Colour becomes sound. Time does not exist. Everybody looks ill. They begin to float. They begin to vomit. Then everything snaps backwards. The vomit returns from whence it came and their bodies crash to the floor, causing them all to cry out in pain. Trent vomits once again.
Oh no, afflicting my mouth.
Laika, are you okay?
Well, that was unusual. But yes, I'm fine, thanks.
Daisy gives Laika a gentle hand up from the floor. Max gets up and helps Alice. Trent stands, muttering to himself, wiping vomit from the front of his shirt.
Oh, so, Dave, you okay?
I think so.
So, did we do it? Did you do it?
I'm just scanning.
Max walks slowly over to the viewing window and looks outside.
Dave?
Dave,
where are we?
We're exactly where we were.
When are we?
Well, that's the thing.
Dave!
I told you I'd never done this before.
Dave!
We've travelled forward, not back. I'm sorry.
How far forward, Dave?
About 42 years.
42 years, is that all?
Yes.
Then answer me this then, Dave.
Max stares at the empty space beyond the viewing window.
Where have all the stars gone?
Be here, bringing books to life.